I am excited about having an opportunity to share with you what the Lord has given me. I am so thankful that despite how far we stray from the Lord, how distracted we may become, He always finds a way to bring us back to Him. And I thank God for that. I thank God for His grace. I thank Him for His forgiveness and just His word. It corrects us, it guides us, it teaches us. And through it, if we walk by the words of God, we can grow. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to be coming from the book of James. I like the book of James. It's a book that when I've read it, I can sit down and kind of read it in one sitting. It's just 5 chapters, but it's full and it's rich. Now, there's not a lot of doctrine in James, so when you read it by itself, it may not stand well alone. And when I read through history, I found that when they were putting the Bible together, they thought about not even including it because it didn't have a lot of doctrine. It's often said that James is like the Proverbs of the New Testament, because he gives practical instruction and wisdom, kind of like you see in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. I didn't know this until I actually started studying for this message, but James, chronologically, was actually the first book that was written for the New Testament. That's what's believed. So there are several men named James in the New Testament, or in the Bible. The person that is believed to author this book of James is Jesus' half-brother. Now, we know that Jesus had at least 6 siblings. They named 4 brothers and sisters, so it didn't say how many sisters, so we know at least 6 siblings that he had. And James was one of those siblings. What's interesting is that if you look through the scriptures, you find that his brethren, including James, were not particularly followers of him as the Messiah before he died. However, after Jesus was resurrected, he saw James, the disciples, and hundreds of other people as he was resurrected. And sometime after that point, it said that he became a follower of Jesus Christ. James went on to become a leader in the Jerusalem church that's spoken of in Acts. Now, this particular book, in this book, he's addressing Jewish Christians. So these are Christians, believers, just like you and I. He wasn't talking to the world. And he's addressing their behavior. The overwhelming theme in James is one of the verses, not just to be hearers of God's word, but to also be a doer of his word. There are several issues that he addressed, some of which we're still dealing with today. How men deal with money, how we don't have control of our tongues, how we show favoritism. He explained the relationship between faith and works. He gave encouragement and persevere for people to persevere when they're sick or they're suffering. We deal with that now. He addressed how they should respond to trials and temptations. And then overall, he just looked at how worldly as a church they have become. And if you look at us, the modern church, in a lot of ways, we are starting to kind of look like the world. Not in every way, but in too many ways. God calls us to be a separated people, to be different. And it concerned James that what he saw and what he observed is that these Christians were not acting Christ-like. So he proposed a few scriptures in chapter 4 that I'm going to share with you tonight in hopes that if you, much like these Christians in James, are walking in worldliness and not conducting yourselves the way you should as believers, God has given us a way back. Turn to James chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So the first guidance and instruction that he gives them is to submit themselves to the Lord. When you hear the word submit, our society, our culture, it's not a word that we want to embrace. Why? Because it goes against our will and what we want to do. But all throughout God's word, he tells us that in order for us to be able to live the life that he would have us to live, we're going to have to submit. Jesus himself said that anyone that wanted to come after him must first do what? Deny themselves. Paul said that he dies daily. And as believers, so should we. If we want to live in Christ, if we want to live Christ-like, we have to die to our flesh. I thought about submission because we see the word submit in God's word and also obedience, because there's quite a few scriptures that tell us to obey as well. And I thought about the difference. So submission is required of us in general, one to another, as believers. We're also to submit to the Lord first. Wives are required to submit to their husbands. As a laity, we're required to submit to our church leadership. So there are several areas in our lives as believers that we're supposed to submit. We're supposed to submit to authority, to our government, to our leaders, providing they are not asking us to do something outside of the will of God, of course. But then you see other scriptures that say, children, obey your parents. So the biggest difference between obedience or obeying versus submitting is the posture of your heart and your attitude. See, I can obey a sign that says 50 miles an hour, even though I want to go 65. Or I could tell my child to do something and they don't want to do it, but they obey me because I'm the parent, and life may not be so easy at home if they're not doing what I ask them to do. Submission is different, though. God requires submission because it's voluntary. You voluntarily and willingly let go of your will, let go of your plans, let go of your heart's desires, and you choose. You make a choice to submit to his rule, to his authority, to his sovereignty. And that's the difference. Other religions, other faiths, they do a lot of things. They do a lot of works. If they don't do this or do that, they're not considered to be aligned with that faith. And there are things as believers that God requires of us. He requires obedience from us too. But ultimately, he wants submission from us. He wants us to decide in our hearts that out of our love, respect, reverence for who he is in our lives, that we submit ourselves humbly to him. I think it's interesting that submission has such a negative connotation to it in our society. It's looked at as being weak or being frail. Sometimes even being abused because you choose to submit. The irony in that is we're strongest when we submit to the Lord. Why? Because we within ourselves are weak. Apart from him, we are nothing and we can do nothing. But the word tells us that we abide in him and he abide in us. That's when we produce the fruit. That's when we can humble ourselves under his submission, and he gives us the strength to carry out his will for our lives. So you're not weak when you submit to the Lord. It's exactly the opposite. You're your strongest when you submit to him and his will for your life. Outward obedience is easy. I can go to church. I can raise my hands. I can sing. I can shout. I can read the word. I can even get on my knees and pray. I can give my tithes and my offering, all the things that people do outwardly, and never submit to God. That's the difference between submission and obedience. And the Lord is calling us to submission today. In the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You see, we can fool man. We can fool our church members. We can fool our friends. We can fool our family, our coworkers. But you can't fool the Lord, because he knows what's in your heart. He knows when no one is looking, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking. And he knows whether or not you're truly submitted to him in every area of your life. I've had times in my life, I'm guilty of it too, where I haven't completely submitted to the Lord. I'm standing here because I chose to submit. I ran from God's call for me to minister for years. I was perfectly comfortable with singing because I had done that from a child. That's my comfort zone. One of the reasons why we do not submit to the Lord is because we fear. And I am guilty of that. That was me. But I decided, I made a decision that if God called me to it, he can help me to do what I need to do. I am not a public speaker. I've never liked speaking in public. I've done it all throughout my education and my career. And I get nervous and I get choked up. But when I learn to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me and to work through me, it's not Angela. It's him that I want people to see. And people who know me know that I'm not a public speaker and I've never liked doing it. So for that reason, I knew the progression of laity at some point was to end here. And I ran away from it. I remember having a conversation with Pastor Taylor in tears when I came back and said, okay, I'll start doing it again. Because I'm battling with myself and I'm battling with my flesh. But it's not about us, saints. It's not about us at all. When we do decide to surrender our life to the Lord, it's supposed to be about him and not us. Other than fear, what are some other reasons that we don't submit? This book talks about pride and how we can't receive grace from God if we're walking in pride. Sometimes when we get saved, all of a sudden we have a mindset that we know better or more than God does. We walk around with a self-righteous spirit like we're better than our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. Like we don't have to come to church. We don't need to read the Bible. There's no need for me to seek the Holy Spirit. We have to check that. Understand and know that God knows all things. And no matter how studied you are in the Word, no matter how long you've been saved, he tells us to trust him and not lean to our own understanding in all of our ways to acknowledge him. And he will direct our paths. We have a need to want to control things. We want it our way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it can't be about us and doing things our way. And the moment we think or that we start trying to control things is when our life becomes completely out of control. So it's very important that we learn. It's vital that we learn how to submit to the Lord in every area of our life. Maybe you say, I've tried that submission thing and that didn't work for me and I failed. I tried. That's the key phrase in there, is I tried. We can't do this on our own. I can read the Bible every day. I can fast. I can pray. I can do all the things that Angela can do. But it's not until I submit to the Lord and I allow the Holy Spirit to teach me the things that I need to know, even submitting to the Lord, that I'm able to do and carry out God's will for my life. I will fail every time, but greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. So if I allow the Lord to do it through me, if I walk, I sit and I walk through this sanctification process, and I allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, then it happens naturally. And I don't have to try. I can just rest in the Lord and I can just depend on Him to help me through it. You know, as I was studying this, I thought about the church that James was speaking to in James. And it reminds me of the people that Jesus spoke to in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to be in vain because I've tried to do it all on my own. I've done things in a prideful way, in such a way that only I got the glory out of it. And I could care less about God getting the glory out of it. So you can go through all the motions and you can do all the things, but it's not until you submit your heart to the Lord that you will truly be able to walk out His will for your life. There are several reasons that we should submit to God. Submission gives us the power. It gives us the strength to carry out His holy and perfect will for our lives. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's not something that we can do outside of submitting to the Lord. I've tried, and I'm sure many of you have tried, and we can't do it without submitting to Him. When we submit to the Lord, it helps us to grow spiritually, and it helps us to reach our full potential in the Lord. Can you imagine what the world would be like if every believer totally and fully submitted themselves to the Lord? I'm sure there would not be. The world would be very different. There'd be a lot more people saved. I think about all the millions of people that are going to die and go to hell because so many of us are not walking in God's will for our lives, because we're not being the light that we're supposed to be in darkness, because we're not being the salt that we should be in the earth. As a believer, we have a responsibility to submit ourselves totally and fully to the Lord. Our goal is to walk and to live our lives in such a way that we become more like Christ every day. And we can only do that through submission to God and His sovereignty. We should submit to God because it strengthens us against the power of Satan. In and of ourselves, we are no match for the enemy. But yet and still, we try to do it on our own, and we continue to fail, and we wonder why. It's because we're not submitting ourselves to the Lord. When I submit myself to the Lord, His will, His way, His plans for my life, I'm opening myself up to all the promises and all the blessings that are bestowed upon His child. There are so many benefits to submitting to the Lord. So if you know in your heart today that you're not there, I encourage you, take these steps to get there. After He told them to submit themselves to the Lord, He said, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." A lot of people glaze over that. They may not even know what that means, to resist the devil. In the Greek, that word resist means to stand against, to oppose, to withstand. Some of us want to live a life of compromise. We want to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. That's not resisting the enemy. Some of us are quiet when we need to speak up. Some of us, you can't tell the difference between us and people in the world at all. We blend in just like everyone else. Something is wrong with that picture. If we were truly submitting to the Lord first, and that is the only way we're able to resist the enemy, by the way, we must first submit ourselves totally and fully to the Lord. The enemy's not going to keep coming to you and tempting you in an area that you don't give into. There are some things that Satan doesn't dare tempt me on but he knows the things that he can. And if you don't stand firm and oppose him, he'll keep coming back with that same thing. See, some of us enjoy those things, those sins, those secret things that no one else knows about. So we don't resist them because we find pleasure in them. Just know, James says at the very end, the wages of sin is death. So if you continue on that path, you may very well end up in eternal death. He then goes on to say, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." He said in another verse that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That goes back to resisting the devil. That Greek word in double-minded means a person vacillates. They go back and forth. The Lord asks us to be steadfast and unmovable in our faith. We can't decide one day we're going to be saved and the next day we're going to compromise and flirt with sin in the world. It's easy to do that if we're not submitting to the Lord, totally and fully submitting our life to the Lord. You say, I'm reading my Bible. I'm fasting. I'm spending time in prayer. I'm attending church services. I'm giving more of my money to the church. But I'm still struggling with this sin. I'm still not able to let it go. Ask yourself, have you fully submitted yourself to the Lord? Because that's the first step, to deny yourself. And if you haven't done that, that may very well be the reason why you're still struggling in that area. Submission is where it starts. And through that submission, it yields obedience. We continue through our sanctification walk, keeping our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to draw near. The Holy Spirit in us will draw us nearer to the Lord. And I love that verse because it's an invitation and a promise. An invitation for us from the Lord to submit to Him, to resist the enemy, to focus on that finished work in Christ. And then the Holy Spirit draws us. And as we draw nearer to the Lord, He draws nearer to us. That's beautiful. The scripture says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. But we know we can't clean ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But the word of God tells us that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a scripture. Let me find it. Just a second here. Well, I can't find it. But it talks about how that will be, our sins are red as scarlet, but He makes them white as snow. You see, we can't clean ourselves. We can't clean our hands. But when we bring all the mess that we are to Him, when we submit it all under His ruling, all under His sovereignty, only He can clean us. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. We pray in the name of Jesus for a reason. Because He's our connection to the Father. You see, when God looks at me, He doesn't see all the mess that I am. Because I have surrendered my life to the Lord. He sees the righteousness of God in me, on me. And as long as I continue to abide in Him, and He abide in me, I am clean. And I am brand new in the Lord. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. This verse is a call to repentance. You see, when we're truly sorry, when we're truly repentant in our hearts, because we know that our lifestyle or the things we've been doing or saying or thinking are contrary to God's word, it hurts us because we hurt the one who loved us first. We hurt the one who gave His life for us when we turned our backs on Him. It hurts. Afflicted, that word means realize our own misery. It's not until we realize the mess that we are, how much we need the Lord, that we even have a mind to submit to Him. We have to understand and recognize our need for our Savior. He doesn't need us. We need Him. When we grieve our sin, when we really grieve our sin,
it causes sorrow. And that sorrow leads to something beautiful. It's called repentance. It's a gift that God gave us. Repentance leads to forgiveness. And then through that repentance, we can then be reconciled back to the Lord. And that brings absolute joy to my heart. I never want to be separated from God or His presence. And even knowing that I could be walking in sin or doing something that's contrary to Him or His word or His will for my life, it hurts me. And just going back to my standing here today, that's one of the reasons why I just had to say, okay, okay. What you will is what I will do. Because I want to be in God's will for my life. Every day and in every area of my life. The last verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, was the perfect example of selfless humility. I want to read the scripture. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul wrote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Perfect example of selfless humility, Jesus was. This man was perfect. He did no wrong. He did no sin. And he took the weight of our sin onto himself. And he died a horrible death for us. If we truly want to be humble in the like manner, we must die to ourselves. We must die to our desires, our wants, our lusts, our plans, all the things that we want that go against God's will for our life. We must die to that. When we are humble, it puts us in a position to receive God's grace, His unmerited favor, His kindness, and His mercy. Who wouldn't want that? I can't live without it. As I come to an end of my message, I want to ask you a question. If I ask if you are saved, are you saved? Probably every hand in the room would go up. Are you saved and fully submitted and surrendered to the Lord? Would be my next question. Is Jesus the Savior of your life and also the Lord and Sovereign of your life? Or do you treat Him like you do a guest in your home? They can come in the house and you say, mi casa es su casa, but that's not what you really mean, because they better not open your refrigerator or touch the thermostat or go in this room or that room. You keep them compartmentalized in the guest room and only the guest bathroom. You better not see them in your master bathroom. Is that how you treat the Lord in your life? You allow Him to maybe sort of help you manage your finances,
sort of guide you in how you raise your children, sort of assist you with how you respond to your spouse, sort of help you run your business or do your job at work. But when it comes to some things, you say that's off limits, like you do to a guest in your home. Is Jesus a guest in your life? Or is he a permanent resident? Is he paying the mortgage, all the bills, cleaning the house as needed? Don't allow the Lord to be a resident. To be a guest in your home. He should be a resident living there full time with full access to everything in your life. And you can only do that if you make a decision to submit fully to him. I want to live my life saved, fully surrendered, and submitted to the Lord. And that's what I want to encourage for you as well tonight. When you are fully submitted to the Lord, you trust his will for your life, his plans for your life. You learn to let go of control, your pride, your self-righteous spirit, and you learn to say yes to the Lord. You learn to surrender your life completely to God and dedicate everything to his glory, because it's not about you, it's about him. You acknowledge your limitations and you rely on God's strength and God's strength alone. You accept and know that God's ways are higher than your ways. You surrender to his timing and you trust that his timing is perfect. You embrace a posture of surrender in prayer and also in your daily decisions. When you submit to the Lord, you allow God to lead you and guide you, not in just some things, but every aspect of your life. And you surrender your worries and your fears to God, because you know that he is in control. You know that he is in control. Amen. So I just want to encourage all of you tonight that if you find yourself in a place like the church that James spoke to, where you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord, where you're trying to control your life and you're not fully submitting to him, that you decide right now that you're going to make a change. And through and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to learn to submit to him first. You're going to learn to deny yourself so that you can see the full fruit of God in your life. Amen. Thank you.
Good. That was really good, just to live a life of submission. You know, that's one of the gifts God gave us, is the freedom of choice. He gives us the ability to choose if we're going to be obedient or not. And when he puts that in our hands, he tells us, will you be obedient? I remember one thing ago was like, he gives us all of this. He lays it all out, and he lays out every opportunity for us to choose him. Everything he lays out before us, if you choose this way, this will be your outcome. This will be your gift. And if you don't choose my way, you're going to go through hardships and all of these things. So I'm just so thankful for that message from Angela tonight. Y'all just give her one more round of applause. So we want to thank you so much for being out tonight. And if you'll stand with me, I'll go ahead and pray and dismiss us. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that free will that you've given us, Lord. And you've provided every motivation for us to choose you, Jesus. We ask that you would continue to let this word sit on our heart. As we go home, Lord, just lay it upon us to choose you, Lord, to submit ourselves, to willingly lay down our lives for you, Lord, because you deserve it. Like Angela said, it's not about any of us, but it's all about Jesus. At the end of the day, it's all about him anyway. So let us be submitted to you. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.